Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. So this week was another installment in the Why Do We Do That series. So Raphael, this is who I'm sitting next to, or across from, is Raphael. So Raphael, what are we devoted to and what did we focus on this week?
So this week we were looking at, the scripture Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, right? Mm-hmm. And to fellowship and to breaking bread and to prayer. So this week we were looking at fellowship. Mm-hmm. So that is just the whole idea that that Christ invites us to fellowship with him vertically, and so therefore we can now fellowship with each other horizontally.
So if you had 10 extra minutes to either tackle something new or go deeper with something, where would you have gone? What would you have said?
One of the other things that towards the end, I talked about, so there's two things that I wanted to talk about today. I talked about, how then do we fight for fellowship? So quick summary, I said fellowship is actually spiritual, right? Because, it's spiritual. We share together. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's First John 1:3. And then at the same time, we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13:14. So we have this Trinitarian fellowship. We are fellowshipping with God. So our fellowship goes, first of all, vertically. And then we have fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. And that fellowship with one another is strengthened because we have a spiritual bond together, and that bond is a spiritual bond goes even further, is more real even further than natural bonds that we share with people that we're related to, and then at the same time it's a communal, it's physical, it's basically, you cannot have community without being physically present. Mm-hmm. And I think what becomes very important is to be faithfully present, to fight to be physically present. And even when you're present, be faithfully present so that you can enjoy singing together, enjoying. And really, that's actually where the miracle of what happened in this passage is the fact that they were together, and they were together, and you get to see there's this they were together. And then verse 43 it says that all of them because they were devoted. It filled all of them. So, it's a fellowship that produces these astounding signs and wonders. And not only that, you see them loving one another in an amazing way. So I ended by really just saying, how then do we fight to devote ourselves? How do we then stay devoted? And one of the ways was talking about membership, pursuing meaningful membership. And so this is very important, and I didn't spend so much time unpacking that word meaningful. Because when we talk about membership in a church, I think that's probably like at least like that's a sermon in its own.
Oh yeah.
You know, when it comes to membership, meaningful membership is instead of this consumeristic of like, I'm a member at that church, but what is it that you do? So church is more like a potluck. It's like a potluck. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets to bring their gifts. Everyone gets to come.
Yeah.
And that's actually now like meaningful membership means that like instead of actually dating the church, you actually marry the church. You give your life to to the church. And I was going to run into this whole idea. And I know there's a lot of people usually that protest when it, it comes to like, but we don't see membership in the New Testament. Well, why is membership important? I just belong. But like, I think membership, when we're thinking membership, what then needs to happen is we need to fire the word membership. We need to fire the word membership in the context of thinking of membership in terms of country club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
sure.
You see what I mean? Like, and maybe kind of like look at membership the way the Bible talks about membership, which is actually like membership, it means it's maybe even the word partnership is a lot better.
Yeah.
To kind of like look at like family first. Like, as in, like, if we're family because of Jesus, then we covenant with one another that we're going to be with each other.
And maybe, I mean, you could potentially even just use covenant.
Yeah, covenant. Like, yeah, like, so we like usually use covenant membership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's really, like, just the whole idea of membership. Like, I know there's a couple of churches in our area that, again, they do not use membership because it's not a New Testament term.
Yeah.
But also there is that country club, dare I say, elitist type of mentality that comes with membership.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, both you and I use Sam's Club.
Yeah.
So it seems like Sam's Club is a really cool way to view it.
Okay.
Where anybody can go to Sam's Club. I mean, you just can't buy anything unless you're a member. But that's like... like Taylor, my wife's name is Taylor, and like Taylor's parents will take us and they take us and they let us just bask in the glory that is Sam's Club and their amazing pizza that you can just like get and take with you, as you shop. But like, that's a really cool analogy, of kind of like the church, like anybody can go in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just might need an invitation to come in and, at City Church, we constantly are inviting people to become covenant members.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I didn't mean to derail
that's
at
good.
All.
Yeah, no, so yeah. But there's benefits to membership. But first of all, before we actually get to that, let me kind of just highlight these few things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually on page 6 of our Discover City Church pocket. You can look at that. And really just reasons for church membership.
Yeah.
Reasons for covenant membership. The first one in there is that church membership is implied in church gatherings in the New Testament. So the New Testament has no category for people calling themselves Christians while they're not connected to a local church. Right? So we get to see that. Like the covenant membership, right? And then reason number 2 is that church membership is implied in church discipline. In the fact that, like, when you're reading, for example, like Matthew 18, and then you read 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians as well, there is almost a way in which, like, unless you've covenanted to be part of that body, you know, if we say, hey, let's talk about just this gangrene that's growing off your shoulder, and we think it's gonna kill you. If there's no covenant there, you can say, I don't care what you're talking about, I'm leaving, I'm going somewhere else.
Yep.
But there is something about covenanting together that actually just like says, hey, we did agree that we're gonna point there's going to be moments where we really do talk about each other's sins.
Yeah.
But then we're also going to point each other towards Jesus. We are agreeing that we're going to talk about sin, but we're going to love each other in a Christ-like way.
Yeah.
Right? And we will, and then also as well, when we do talk about your sin, we're not giving up on you.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
It's not a write-off.
Yeah, it's not a write-off. Yeah. Because a lot of times when people point your sins out and you don't know what angle they're coming from, you already assume that like I'm in trouble, I'm being ousted out.
Yeah, because then that gets us to this mentality that there are sins that we cannot bring up.
Yeah.
And I was listening to a podcast yesterday about this.
There you go.
That in the modern American evangelical church, there are sins you cannot bring up out of fear of being excommunicated.
Yeah.
But if we look at the New Testament, that's not what we see laid
out. That's not what
we see. Open confession of, hey, I'm struggling with this. Paul was really open about it. And saying, I do things that I don't know why I do them, but I still do them in my mind says no, but my body says yes, and my body ends up winning. Like, we should be able to wrestle with that openly in community and in fellowship, because I think there, you can't have fellowship without community.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big part of being in a church is you're fellowshipping because you're in community, and it makes so much more sense to do it that way.
As a
Christian.
And what becomes very important when it comes to that is just the whole idea that, you know, we always kind of say the worst that could ever be said about you has already been said at the cross. And the best that could ever be said has been said. So we are looking at each other with this and we're welcoming each other. And that community aspect is very important for fellowship to keep going. Ray Odland, in his book, Gospel Doctrine, usually uses this phrase, gospel plus safety plus time. What we need to do is actually multiple exposures of the gospel in a safe space over time. That's actually like what makes a really great church, like a place where we can be gospel plus safety plus time, where we just walk with one another over some time. And church membership actually allows for that. And then also, it's also implied in church leadership. For example, 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 2, I exhort elders amongst you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So where you're talking about elders, like, and in there, it's implied in church leadership in the fact that, like, who am I leading?
Yeah.
Who am I leading? We have to at least agree, hey, now I'm your leader. Follow the leader, right? Like, there has to be, like, a covenant of saying, hey, and especially when you get down to actually maybe Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them since they keep watch over your souls and as those who will give an account. There's actually something in there, like, do we submit to each other unless we have come to an agreement that
we're in that type of relationship?
Yeah. Or, like, I need to know who I'm keeping watch over.
Yeah.
Like, if this is actually as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, and then because that will be unprofitable to you. If I'm going to go and stand before God and give an account, you know, that's important. That's important for me to actually know, you know, to know that. And we need to get into an agreement that, hey, I'm your leader now, and I'm going to give it. So if I'm going to give an account for you before God, I need to know that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to give an account over someone that I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so we need to kind of get into, you know, I need to get into at least that. We need to get into that relationship. And it's also implied in the body. First Corinthians 12 talks about, like, there are many members in the body. Some mm-hmm. are hands, some of, you know, that actually just, like, says, hey, mm-hmm. you are covenanting so that you can bring what God has gifted you, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just very important, and just to be able to do that. I don't know. What do I think in there also you get to see there. I think my second thing that I wanted to mention was just, like, one of the ways we fight for it as well is that, like, is making sure we prioritize humility in this way, in the fact that, like, you know, seeing where God's grace has been at work in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's fellowship gets kind of distorted when we don't pay attention to how God has been changing others.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So it's very important to, like, you know, Gus used to help me so much about this and just say, and he would always kind of help me frame the language in terms of, like, I like this about so-and-so. And while this all is true, this also.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Like, yeah. In terms of, like, highlight the grace and then make sure that you're also, when you're talking about whatever it is that's kind of maybe the problem that you need to address, you're also doing it within the framework of also. I really, man, I am so amazed at how far God has brought Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And how God has done A, B, C, and D. You know, and mm-hmm. while that is also true, I'm concerned about this area in his life right now.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So kind of just like in a way of, like, don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus is still doing so much amazing work yeah. in Tyler, and totally demonize him, and totally, that kind of just like, that just kind of like makes fellowship sour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all of a sudden now you start fellowshipping with that person and you magnify their flaws instead of magnifying what Christ is also doing in their lives.
Yeah, and if you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
then you create this, because I used the word earlier, I'm going to use yeah. it again, you create this elitist us versus them type of church
yeah.
where
yeah.
you don't get to see flaws. You don't yeah. get to see the things that God is working on because they're hidden.
Yeah.
And, you know, as people are coming into the church, and like you said, like, and like Paul said, about there's different members of the body that are influential and instrumental
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in all of this stuff. Like, thinking right now about the things that are in my body, like platelets. Platelets are useless unless I end up getting cut.
Yeah.
Because they help with clotting.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. but other than that, they're just kind of circulating, waiting to be put into use.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, as you're listening to this,
mm-hmm.
think to yourself, like, what is, and I'm saying this because I need to do it too.
Yeah.
Ask yourself what does City Church need
mm-hmm.
in order that I can fill. What is mm-hmm. a need that City Church has that I can uniquely fill?
Mm-hmm.
There's this hemorrhage. We're bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
I can act as a platelet there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can fill that hole. I can stop that hemorrhage
mm-hmm.
because that's what I'm uniquely gifted as.
Yeah.
And, you know, you like 1 Corinthians that's 12
cool. yeah.
comes right before and right after, like, the whole talk about spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, love the church, 1 Corinthians 13,
yeah.
13, yeah. Love is the basis for the spiritual gifts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then without love then, and love for the church, and that membership that you have with those people, and the fellowship you have with those people,
yeah.
you're able to use and exercise your spiritual gifts
mm.
in such a way that is going to be beneficial
for the church, which is what Paul talks about.
Yeah.
And your gifts are supposed to benefit the church, not detriment the church.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and that's now like where, you know, I think 1 Corinthians 12:12 says that, for just as one, the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, mm-hmm. so it is with Christ. And as it is, mm-hmm. there are many parts of yet one body.
Yeah.
And there's that doesn't allow you to be loosely connected.
Mm-mm, not at all.
You know, it every doesn't allow you. Yeah, every part is instrumental. And the other side of that is actually like where when we think about that, then we, you know, you don't get to a place where you're like, there's no part for me to play here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part to play. And that's now like where, and maybe I want to challenge even us as a church in terms of like, if you don't feel like, if you don't see that there's a part for you to play, number one, obviously, see a need, feel a need.
Mm-hmm.
It means that, like, at some point, just jump in and serve where you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, like, and we're not only just talking about just serving, just in terms of, like, just only what you do. I was just so amazed. One of the ladies here who comes to church, she went and visited Marie Holman at mm-hmm. the hospital. Oh. And just like, yeah. I love that. Like, just like getting there and getting to hear, hey, someone has been here. And they just spent time just to come sit down with someone who's not feeling well and mm-hmm. talk to them and pray with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's that for me, when I see that. Or even just like there was the other day when I was sitting at Panera and I saw there was almost 3 or 4 clusters of City Church people doing discipleship with one another.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so amazing, you know? And yet there are some people that are like, that will, I remember, and I don't know, like I remember just like giving, I cannot set up a place like I don't think about hospitality the way sometimes like people like Miss Sharon Markle like thinks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where a man like, you know, and her team or music or people in the sound booth or people like we've gotta be able to use our gifts. One of the best like one of the most amazing gifts as well, like is watching people like Nate Tucker. You know, we recently went and helped a church in West Virginia to go help them, you know, help them build.
Mm-hmm.
I could not nail one thing, but nail, man, like if you see pictures of that room, I remember watching Nate and Earl
mm-hmm.
going in and just like, what a blessing that is. Yeah,
it's like almost as if they were already at home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just like, and that's why you can't elevate one gift over another.
Yeah.
I love preaching, but like preaching is not all, it's not the one that's like, a lot of times people just like elevate that at the expense of all the other mm-hmm. gifts.
Which is where we get celebrity pastors.
Yeah, but yet actually like it's not really, man, everyone who's doing something, you know, for the glory of Christ deserves, you know, just deserves like, man, thank you so much for doing that. But at the same time, that's also, that's fellowship and serving one another. That's mm-hmm. also my gift blessing your, you know, blessing you and you blessing mm-hmm. me with your gift. And it's like, it's a potluck without it being food. You see what I mean? So, yeah. Anyway, that's, I digress. One last thing I wanted to mention was also yep. just the fellowship of, you know, I read 1 John 1:3, but I didn't get to 1 John 1:7. And this is what it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Mm.
And one of the best things that actually like we, that kills fellowship is maybe not having you know, like not prioritizing holiness, first of all, individually, but not prioritizing actually like, you know, fighting for each other's holiness. You know, making sure that, hey, I really see you're traveling down the wrong path. Let me come. How can I come pray with you, fast with you, encourage you out of this thing?
Yeah.
But then you see what I mean? Like, as in, like, what empowers fellowship, according to 1 John, is walking in the light, towards the light, and being the light, right? That's so good. Walking in the light, right, in Christ. And being the light, but at the same time, we're walking towards the light.
Yeah.
Which is actually like we're walking towards glorification, right? So, yeah, that's I'm going to have to think about that a lot more.
Well, let's give we'll give you some time to think about
it. Yeah.
So, and for those of you that are listening, I just want to remind you this isn't a supplement, or this is a supplement to the church, to being involved in fellowshipping with a local community of believers, the local church. Get involved. If you're in City Church and you're not involved, see one of the leaders. We would be ecstatic to get you involved in serving, and you don't have to be a member to be serving, which is even better. But we just want to encourage you in that to fellowship with a community of believers, because that's when the real work of sanctification is going to start to take place. So, Raphael, thank you for leading us through what it means to be devoted to fellowship. And just reaffirming the need for it. So with that, we'll see you guys next week. Have a blessed week.
God bless.